Okay, so I have Yud Zayin tonight. That's Kiddushin 17a. So yesterday we said that if an Eved is Boreach, he fled from servitude, so he has to make up the time that he missed. It's not like a tour, like you run away. You still have to make up the time. So then the Gemara says on the top line on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Yecholof, what if even if he was sick, does he have to make up the time as well? So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar Vashvi Yitzayin. So if he's sick, he doesn't have to make up the time. That's what we learned yesterday. So let's take a look now around five lines down. And please, somebody unmuted themselves. One second. Let me help you out. So Lechora not. Lechora not. Okay, I think that's what Rabbi Packer was saying today. So on line five, 17A, line five. Yeah, page 33. Okay. So Amar Mar, so we had the quotation above, Yecholof Yiluchala. I might have thought that even if he was sick, that he has to make up the time. Tamalomar say. So the Gemara says, Afiluchala Koshesh, what if he was sick all 6 years? So he doesn't have to make up anything, he's done. But Tanya, we learned the Braisa, this is a different Braisa. So earlier we were quoting from, that was a Braisa that we just quoted from. That was another Braisa. But Tanya, Chalashalosh, Viavanshalosh, if he was sick for 3 years, but he worked for 3 years, he doesn't have to make it up. But if he was sick for all 6 years, he does have to make it up. So which way does it work? If he's sick, is he off the hook, or is he sick, he's on the hook? So Amrav Shesha, but Osamasi Machat. So Rav Shesha said the first brisa that says he doesn't have to make it up doesn't mean he wasn't doing anything. He was sick, but he was able to do light work. So he was doing light work. So then he doesn't have to make it up. Now we'll see in a minute that the second Brice is talking about doing zero. So the Gemara says, Hakufa Kasha, we're on line eight on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, welcome. Hakufa Kasha, the Gemara says the Brice is internally contradictory. Amir Chalash Shlosh V'Avat Shlosh, first you say if he was sick for 3 years and he worked for 3 years, he doesn't have to make it up. And again, it means he's doing zero when he's sick. So the implication of that would be if he worked 4 years, if he was sick for 4 years, then he does have to make it up. Ema Sefer, but then we'll go to the next line of the Braisa. If he was sick for all 6 years, then he's got to make it up. Arba in then 4 he doesn't have to make it up. So the verse says Haki Kamar, this is what the Braisa means. Chala Arba means if he was sick for more than 3 years, anything over 3 years, Nasa Mishakalakosheshavlashlim. It's like Rubo Kikulo. In other words, if he's sick for most of the time, he can't work, so then he's got to make it up. If he's sick for, half or less, then he's off the hook. So zero, doing zero, right? But it means he's like, presumably doctor certified, like that he really can't do the work. Whatever the situation is, in other words, he's truly sick. So again, so we learned two dinim. One is if he, again we have an Eved Ivri. So if the Eved Ivri is sick but is capable of light work like masi macha, like sewing, so then he's good, then he goes out in the seventh year, then he's free. But if he's doing zero and it's the result of being sick, so if he was sick up to half the term, then he's off the hook. But he's sick over half the term, then he's on the hook for it. That's what we said. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good?
Does
Okay,
it have to
go.
be consecutive days or it can be not
No, I
Ritzuka?
think it could even accumulate. I think it could accumulate.
Okay.
Okay, that's what it seems to me. Okay, now around 10 lines down on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the two dots. Okay, so Tanur Banan, we learned. So we're talking about Hanaka. Hanaka is the severance pay that the Eved Ivri gets when he finishes his work. And again, we said there are psukim in Parshat Mishpatim, but Hanaka is really covered in Parshat Re'eh. Let's get the psukim after Parshat Re'eh. One second. So yeah. So, yeah, so that's $10. Okay. Okay, yeah. So it's page 1018. Page 1018 in the art scroll. Okay. So if you want, you can accomplish this up to you. Okay, now. So it's two dots around 10 lines down. So Tanur Banan Kamama Anikimlo, how much is the Hanaka? In other words, he's getting like the severance pay. How much severance pay does he get? So chamesh slaim equal min min shein chamesh esrei slaim to bremer. So in the Torah it says again in page 1018 chumash, Hanek tani, line three, Hanek tani klo mitzonecha. Mitzonecha means like your flocks, it means sheep or goat. And then it says, umigarnecha from your granary, umiyikvecha from your wine vat. So there are three types of things the Torah mentions to give the Eved. So the Tanur Meir says he's entitled to five slaim worth, five slaim from each min. Shein chamesha srei slaim the Remeir, which total of 15 slaim is his severance pay. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, shloshim kishloshim shlevin. Tanur Rabbi Yehuda says he gets 30 slaim, 30 shkalim, like an Eved. In other words, just like an Eved Kanani, if the shore kills him, so they owe you 30 shkalim. So there's an Eved Ivri, but he gets 30 shkalim. That's what we'll see in the Limud. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon means Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, says Chamishim. He gets 50. It goes better. So 15, 30, 50. I guess from your Eved perspective, you'd rather have Rabbi Shimon. And the employer's perspective, you'd rather have Rabbi Meir. Anyway, so Rabbi Shimon Omer Chamishim, Chamishim Shba Erechin. Like the 50 is the largest amount of Erechin. Erechin, other set amounts. When a person gives an erech of somebody, so it's a sliding scale depending on the age and the gender, but the largest amount is 50, the largest amount. So that's the brisa. Now we're going to analyze the brisa and take it down. So Amar Mar, Chamesh Slamin Mikol Minamin, Shem Chamesh Shrei Slam the Remeir. So the first thing, the mayor said, you get five slime of each min, of each type, which is a total of 15 slime. So Remeir Minyana Akhla Shminan, is Remeir telling me the calculation? In other words, why does he says Chamesh Slamin Mikol Min? Why does he have to say 15? I can add up on my own. I know it's 15. What is 15? So Hakmash Malan, so what Meir is teaching me is Mivtsar Hudlo Mivtsar Lei Mehai Minyana. In other words, the gross amount, he can't go less than the gross amount. Gross amount is 15 slime. He's got to give the Eved at least 15 slime worth of goods. The Ibatsar Lei Mechad Mina, if he has a little bit less than one min, he says it's Fele Mechad Mina and a little bit more another min, late Manvab, like we say, Nishka Ferlach. Doesn't make a difference. In other words, the main thing is he gives him 15 slime. That's the main thing. Now we'll come to see in the Gemara later on, it's going to be that you have a wide discretion as to what, not just these three minim, even more minim you can give. But Remeir's main klal, Remeir is going to learn, we'll see in a minute, Remeir learns, we'll see the limud. Limud is going to be Gzera Shava, that, like from Pidyon HaBen, that teaches me five slime, and then I know the three minim, so I get 15 slime. But the Ikar is, for Remeir, 15 slime. So the Gemara says, we're midway down the column on Yud Zayin 17a, midway down the column, when you got a Gavriel. He says, my time on the Remeir, what's the reason for Remeir? Yalif Reikam, Reikam, me before. He learns Xavier Shava Reikam. So by the Eved, it says, Bechit Shalchenu, Lot Shalchenu Reikam. When you send him out, don't send him Reikam. Let me just see what the Pasuk is. Yeah, so that's on line three, on Pasuk Yud Gimel, right. So it says Reikam there. And then by the Bechor, so it says, Samikul Bechor Banecha Tetev, Lo Yerufanai Reikam. It says in Parshas Kitisa, you should be Poda, your Bechor. And lo yeru fanai rekam. That means you have to bring the olas re'iyah on the yantiv. So it mentions two things in the pasuk. But that rekam, the way Remeir is learning it, this sets up the Tzeber Shabbai, rekam, rekam. And it's teaching me the way Remeir is learning it, it's the link is to the pidyon b'chor. So he says, ma lahalan chamesh slayim. Just like I know the pidyon b'chor is five slayim, afkan chamesh slayim. So here too, five slayim, five slayim. So the Gemara says, ve'ema chamesh slayim, maybe in the aggregate, five slime. Why is it 15 in the aggregate? Maybe I have the Xavier Shabbat. How do you feel 15? I know you have feeder 15. Maybe it's five in the aggregate. So here, Remeir would argue that if it, so again, in the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, it says, then ha'nek tanik lo mitzonokam yigarnakam yikvecha. Give A, B, and C. So it says Re'kam, and then it says give A, B, and C. So he says, if Reikam came after the three minim, kitka amar, then I'd say you're right. But hashtag the khtiv Reikam Bereisha, see a Reikam comes, and then it says, give these three minim. So he says, Shadi Reikam Atzon, Reikam Agoran, Reikam Ayekev. So I'm going to apply the Reikam to each one of the minim. He says, so Mila, then I end up with 15. Got it so far? Everybody good? Okay, let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. So now the Gemara asks Akasha against Reb Meir. We mentioned a moment ago that the pasuk that we're learning Reikam from in Parshas Kitisa is redeem your firstborn son, like on my face, like Hashem shouldn't be seen empty-handed. It means on the regal, you should bring an olas riyah, different halakha. In other words, you should make aliyah the regal on the entovim and bring an olas riyah. It's the same pasuk. So he says, so why are you learning it why you think that the din is the first part of the pasuk with five shloim? Olariya has to be tuma, which is much less than the five shloim. So Amar Kro Shabi Racha Hashem Elokecha. So Rebbe would say the pasuk says again in Parshas Re'e, it says on line four in the Chumash, it's in pasuk Gedalid. It says, that which Hashem has blessed you. In other words, like give like bounty. In other words, give it like with an ayin tova, like with a yad rechava. So therefore, we're going to interpret it in the more larger sense rather than the narrow sense. Okay, that's Reb Meir. Everybody good so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Everybody good in Zoom land? Okay? Okay. Okay, let's see further. Okay, we're around 20 lines above where it gets wide on Yitzayin Amin Aleph, 17a. Okay, you have the place, Ruth? Okay, now, let's take a look. Rabbi Yehuda now. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said it's 30 is the amount of Hanukkah. Rabbi Yehuda may have Shoshim Shal Eved. And the Eved that he's talking about is an Eved Kanani. If somebody sure gores and kills an Eved Kanani, so the tortfeasor has to pay 30 Shkalim. But he's learning Eved with Eved. We'll see in a minute. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Yalath Natina Natina Me'evit. He learns Xerah Shava Natina Natina. So here it says Titain Lo. It says, so it says, I'll tell you in a minute. I'll tell you in a minute. Yeah, so it says in Pasuk Yudalid, it says, Hanei Taniklom Yitzorachom 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 Titain Lo. So it's loosely, it's the verb giving. He says, and then by the Eved, it also says the Tina. It says, 1 second. Yeah, it says, when is it? Shloshim Shkalim Yitain Ladonav. In Parshat Mishpatim, it says, Shloshim Shkalim Yitain Ladonav. 30 Shkalim he'll give. So here it says, Titan Lo. There it says, Yitain. It's not exactly the same, but similar. It says, Yalut Natin and Tin Me'evid. Malahalan Shloshim. Just like by the Evid Kanani that's gored and killed by the person shore. It's 30 shkalim of kan shloshim. So to here, the ha'anaka, according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, is 30 shloshim shkalim that you get. So v'nelech natin atin me'erichin. So why can't we learn natin atin me'erichin? Now, Erichin also mentions natina. So, what's the pasuk by, you have it in front of you. Okay, so that's it. So it says Natina by Erichin. Let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, Natina by Erichin. Why do we say that Erichin has 50, which is what the Tana Reb Shimon says, Afkan Chamishim. So in other words, opinion number two was Reb Yehuda, it's 30. Opinion number three is Reb Shimon, it's 50. So 30 says it's Natina from the Eved. So the Gemara is asking, why can't I learn Natina from Erichin? And that would be 50. So he says, Chara tefasamu velo tefasta, tefasamu et tefasta. So the klal in the Gemara that if I can learn a larger amount or a lesser amount, I go for the lesser amount. So here I'm going to go as between 50 and 30, I'm going to go for 30. He says, Va'od, Evid me Evid, in addition to which, it's more logical to learn one Evid from another Evid, even though the bottom are a little different. Here's an Evid Ivri, there's an Evid Kani, but Evid me Evid is more logical. Okay, that's the second opinion. Now for the third opinion, again, this is around 6 lines above where it gets wide on your what's up, Fern? You got a question? What's up?
I have a very basic question about payment for an Eved Ivri. Is this salary, an Eved Ivri gets paid, right?
Yeah, no. Again, the Eved Ivri is sold. So there's a payment when he's sold. So either he sells himself or the Bezdin sells him. If he stole money, the Bezdin might sell him and use the money to recompense the victim. Or he could sell himself as an Eved Ivri. But there's money that's being paid for the Eved Ivri at the outset.
But once he's an Eved, he gets room and board, right?
Right, that's correct.
What else does he get?
I don't know what to say. Sometimes a Shivcha Kanani.
Medical.
But the role of this Eved is different than this one, depending upon how many people are in the household, how big the field is.
What
Why
can
are
I tell
trying...
you? That's what can I tell you? That's the marketplace, Fern. You got to know who you're selling yourself to or whatever, or don't steal and get sold.
Because they're trying to universalize this Hanukkah.
Well, we'll see. Let's wait. Let's be patient. Let's wait till the end of the sugya. Let's see how this goes. Okay, now, 8 lines above where it gets wide. Rabbi Shimon Omer Chamishim Shve Erechim. So the Tan Rabbi Shimon, which is the Rabbi Shimon Yochai, he says, no, you get the big amount, you get 50 Shkalim, like the Erechim. So my time to Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason Rabbi Shimon? Gamar Nantin and Tina Erechim. So we think, now, right, that which we rejected a few lines ago, we think that Rabbi Shimon holds that Xer Shavin and Tina and Tina, here it says Titen Lo, and by the Erechim and Antana Erechim by Yamahu. So with Me'erchin, Malahal Chamishim Chan Chamishim. So the Gemara says, wait, so why don't we say the least amount of Erechin? If you learn from Erechin, I think the least amount would be like five. He says, so Ashebi Racha Hashem Lekechiti. So the Torah says, Ashebi Racha Hashem Lekecha, like Hashem blesses you, so it's a large amount. The Nailath Nantina Tina Me'evid. Why don't we learn Nantina? So you're learning Nantina and Tina. Apparently there's a Masor we think right now, Zer Shabbat Nantina and Tina. Why are you learning it from Erechin? Learn it from Evid. And why should I do that? Again, the klal is if I can learn large and learn less, I should learn less. More logical. In other words, the reason that we gave for Rabbi Yehuda Bav are cautious against Rabbi Shimon. Go with the 30, not the 50. So the Gemara says that we misunderstood Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is not learning Xer Shava, Natina, Natina. Rabbi Shimon, Micha, Micha, Gamar. He's learning, here it says, like it says by the Eved, if you know the person becomes poor, not here in Parshas Bahar, says he becomes poor, and then he's sold, and then it says by the Erechin, if he's like worth less, I think, than the Erechin. But the point is, it mentions Mach, it means to be worth less. So he says, so back to the Gemara, he says, Rav Shem Micha Micha Gamar. So he's a different Xer Shava. So it's different, it's not a choice. According to him, this is the Xer Shava. So that's the Xer Shava, we're in 50. So the first white line downstairs. Again, the last opinion is Rav Shimon. So we thought Rav Shimon was learning Xer Shava and Natina Natina. So the Gemara says he can learn the Xer Shava and Natina Natina from America, or Natina Natina from the Eved. So he should learn the Eved because the reasons that we gave above. Tafasta Mubalo Tafasta and Eved May Eved. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. Rav Shimon is not learning the Tina and Tina. He's not learning the Xer Shava. He's learning a different Xer Shava. Xer Shava he's learning is with the word Micha, Mach. Meaning it says, V'chi amuch achicha. If your brother becomes impoverished and is sold as an Eved. And it says, V'imachum erkecha. He's worth less than the Erechin. So he's learning that's his Xer Shava. So that's the Xer Shava. It's just the Erechin. He's not learning the Tina and Tina. So he arrives at 50. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, so the first wide line downstairs. So the Gemara says, "V'shleim l'Rav Meir hadithiv tzon dorin v'yekin." So according to Tan Rav Meir, I understand why the Torah, you know, specified the three minim tzon, dorin, and yekev. That's to give me like the total amount of 15, 5, 5, 5, 15. El Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon haitzon dorin v'yekev lamali. So, but according to the last two Tanayim, it's irrelevant about the tzon, dorin, v'yekev, and we'll see shortly that they can give any min that they want as the tip, as the severance pay. So why then does the Torah even mention Son Goren V'Yekev according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So Hami Ba'ilei Tani. So we need it for that which we learn in the Braisa. Yecholu Yu Ma'anikim El Mitzon Goren V'Yekev. I might have thought the Hanaka has to only be from Son Goren V'Yekev. Son is like the flocks, which means sheep or goat, and the Goren is the granary, the grain, and Yekev is the wine bag. So I would have thought that's the limit. This is Minayin L'Rabot Kol Davar. How do I know that you can give anything for the Hanukkah? Taman Lomar should be Racha Hashem Lokecha. It says that which Hashem has blessed you with, you can give. So he says, Im Kema Talamot Son Goren V'Yekev. So if that's the case, so what do we need Son Goren V'Yekev? Lomar Lecha, so here the Bryce's answer to the question. Lomar Lecha Mat Son Goren V'Yekev Miuchadim Hishna Beklal Bracha. Each one of the Beklal Bracha, I mean, they increase. Naturally, they increase. Like the Son multiplies, then the Goren, you know, grows, then the Yekev. Of course, it's the Mechlal Bracha. So whatever you give the Eved has to be something which is like involved with it, like a natural increase. Yetzuk Safim the Reb Shimon. So according to the Reb Shimon, this comes to exclude money. Sounds somewhat counterintuitively. Like usually you think here in America, like the best severance pay money, everybody wants money. But the Gemara learns money doesn't have a bracha with it. We'll see the machloke, but according to Reb Shimon, not money. Reb Lezim and Yaakov Amir Yetzu Prado. Reb Lezim and Yaakov says, comes to exclude mules. I can't give the Eved a mule. The mule is a, you know, right, it's a sterile animal. So he says here, Reb Shimon would say, Pradot Meshavchan Begufayu. Shimon would say, no, Pradot also can increase. They can become stronger. They can't multiply. they become bigger and stronger, so they do have a natural increase. For Blesman Yaakov, who holds that you can give kesef, safim abu iska. So he would say money, you invest the money, and then it does give payroll with that. So, but the bottom line is that they are learning that I need Son Goren Yaakov to teach me that the hanaka has to be from something that naturally multiplies. So he says, Utsricha. Now the Gemara goes through Utsrichusa, I need all three terms. If the Torah only wrote sown, flocks, avamina balechayim in didlei karkalo. So I would have said it has to be something, a live creature, animal, not something that grows from the ground. So the Torah wrote goren, so now even something grows from the ground. Because of goren, if it only wrote goren, avamina didlei karkalo balechayim lo. So I would have said it has to be something that grows from the ground, but balechayim not. So yekav lamali, what is, so I got two terms, sown. So Sarnakam Garnaka, that guy. What about the Yekav Lamali? Turn page top line on the design of days. Lamar Lemuti Safim, Lamar Lemuti Pradot. So the last term you're gonna you learn is a mir. In other words, it's like you have a mir, it's a mir. In other words, it's coming to me in my eye. So he says, Mi Fecha is coming to say that there's something that doesn't work in. So according to what? So wait. So Lamar, let me take Safim. So in other words, one item is going to be the way Rashi is learning. One item is going to be out the door, the one that really doesn't fit in. So Lamar is the music Safim. So according to one opinion, it's to exclude money. Lamar, the music Prado. According to one opinion, it's to exclude like the mules. He says, 1 second. Let's look at Rashi. Let me take the top line Rashi. Lo tema shibiracha ribuyahu. Don't say shibiracha ribaha kol. Everything could be given. We came to the rabbi gidli kark balechayim, and since gidli kark and balechayim are included, so hakanam iksafim, also iksafim. So he says miyik becha. It's like a limitation. That's the way it seems like. And the two is not both Rashi and both problems. So the where the article here. 1 second. He says, this is in footnote one. So I would have thought, like, money is somewhat similar to the categories because it increases when it's invested. Like, mules are somewhat similar, they grow physically. Thus, in order to refute this line of reasoning, scripture writes the third apparently superfluous example, wine, bat, yakev, which conveys that the set of valid severance gifts must be limited to those things that are more fully within the category of increase. In other words, it's like to bring it back into the cloud. He says, according to Shimon, then money is excluded for it cannot appropriate. For Miyako, mules are excluded for similar reasons. Okay, this is based on Tosfos Rashi. Okay, now let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the basic idea we learned is that there's a mitzvah hanaka. An eved ivri works 6 years, and then when he completes his term, he gets this severance package, which is the hanaka. And since the Torah doesn't say specifically how much to get, this is a hanek taniklo. You give him hanaka means like surround him, like a necklace is an anak. So we like surround him with all these gifts. He's sonacha migornacha mikbecha from your flocks, migornacha from your granary, mikbecha from your wine vat. So we had three opinions among the time how much he gets. So it's based on differently. Rameir learned it was 15 slime he gets. And that's he's learning from Pidyon Ben, Xerah Shava. So 5 slime from each category. So in the aggregate, 15. Then the second opinion was Rabbi Huda learns it's 30 slime. He's learning Xerah Shava from the Eved Kanani that's killed by the shore, 30 shkalim. And last opinion is Reb Shimon. He learns 50 shkalim. He's learning from Erchin, and it's the largest one of the Erchin. It's a Sherbi Racha Shem Lotecha. So, and then the Gemara says, why do I need, according to these Tanayim, last two Tanayim, why do we need to mention Son Goren V'Yakev? Teach me it has to be something, it could be anything, but it has to be something that, like, that naturally has a natural increase. And then there was Machloket, whether money or mules is excluded. According to one Tana, money's excluded, but according to another Tana, money can be invested. It makes money, but anybody who's invested money knows if it can make money, it can lose money too. And then the mule can't procreate or is a sterile animal, but it can grow stronger and bigger. So the mule, in a way, is capable of growing. So there's a question, which one is out the door? Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good?
Can or
cannot?
Cannot.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
True value of gun.
Which?
Watch.
Watch. If it's like, what is the name of that company that says was Machin or which one? No, what? Whitnow or which is it? Whitnow or like there's one watch company they advertise. It's like an heirloom, like you know, like the father.
Rolex or
No, no, no. It's it, I can't remember which one it is anymore. But like the advertisement is, you know, Patek Philippe, Patek Philippe, Patek Philippe. Yeah, Patek Philippe. They say it's like you don't own a Patek Philippe, you pass it on to the next generation. You know, and like I remember on the radio, I kept hearing it. And anyways, Patek Philippe. Okay, all right. Now, and so there's no questions. Everybody's good. Everybody's happy here. All right. Well, we'll see. You know what? Yeah. All right. Now let's take a look. Well, you know, the reason is I'm always afraid that we're going to be stuck, and that I don't like to be stuck with, like, behind. Okay.
Nothing would happen.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I'd be stuck the next day with more or whatever to do. Okay, now.
It's okay.
It's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. Okay, now let's take a look. One second. Let me see what I have here. All right, we'll do a little bit from this, and then we'll move on. This is from the... There's a lot on the severance pay here, there, and the other place, but Sefer Chinuch writes that although the law of severance, like Hanukkah, applies only to slaves during the era of the Beis Hamikdash stands, and laws of Yovel are enforced, it would be like only during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, because during the seventh Beis Hamikdash there was no Yovel. He says, nevertheless, it is appropriate for an employee, we spoke about this, to give severance to his employee when his employment comes to an end, regardless of whether he worked for a long or short period of time. When he's a regular employee, you should give him something. He says, accordingly, Tshuva 7 Shom justifies the decision made by his Bezdin to provide a generous severance payment to someone who worked many years for the Chevers B'Kolim once it was no longer possible to retain his employment. The Tshuva Ben Chas Yitzchak, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, he wrote that the custom in Eretz Yisrael is for employers to make severance payments when employees were released, but the custom in Eretz Yisrael does not establish the custom for the rest of the world. So the Betzel HaChachma was asked whether a person has the right, according to the Torah, collect a pension from the community that is terminating the position after working for them for 21 years. He answered, this is really shy of like some of the rabbis and shuls. In other words, the letting him go after 21 years, is he entitled to a severance? In other words, the one let him go, they would say, what? No, he would like one. He says, he answered that according to the Torah, an employee that was terminated has no right to collect any additional payment. However, Sefer Chinuch notes, writes that it's appropriate for an employer to provide some type of severance for an employee at the end of his employment. Accordingly, it would seem that one cannot obligate the community to provide a type of severance payment if it is not mandated according to halakha. He then notes that the Rivash rules that a community is obligated to go beyond the letter of the law, lifting Bishur Adin, and as such, they should provide some sort of severance payment for someone who worked for the community for so many years. Shuvas Yam HaGadol writes, one cannot invoke the opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch to create an obligation since it was written as good advice rather than binding halakha. However, if common business practice includes providing severance payments for employees, it is then obligatory since business-related matters are determined by common practice. We saw this last night in the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, if it's a minhag gemakom, then you're obligated to act like the minhag gemakom. But it's a very tricky type of thing. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, they worked out something for him. So he was okay. Now the second line on Yuzan of Beis. Okay. Tan Rabbanan Asher Birach Hashem Elokecha Yecholin Barak Bayit Beglo Manikim Lo Lo Barak Beglo E Manikim Lo. So I might have thought if things are going well for the household, in other words, the household is making oodles of money, so then he gets a severance package. Things aren't going financially so well for the household, then they don't give him a severance package. So it's a double action. Ha'anek tanik means under all circumstances you have to give them the severance. Imkein matalomar shabirachacha. So what it says, shabirachacha, that which Hashem blessed you. And those even Hashem didn't bless you, you have to give it to him. Ha'kolafi bracha tenlo. Means everything, in other words, if you're making millions, then give more than the minimum amount. Like let's say you go like the middle opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, which is I think the way the halakha is. It would be the 30 shekalim, right? Let's just double check. Yeah, 30. So luck is like 30 shekalim. But if you're making millions, so give him, you know, share the wealth, that type of thing. Now, there's six lines down. Reb Lazar ben Azaryo Meir, Dvarim Kichtavan. The husband says, no. Shuto kmashmao. Nipareich baipig lo manikim lo. If the household is doing well, he gets a severance package. Lo nipareich baipig lo lo. It means on his account. In other words, like he's like a functioning member. He right. He's a functioning member of that household, but the house wasn't blessed as a result of his efforts. Ain manikim lo. He gets nothing. Im kein matal or hanik tanik. So why say hanik tanik the double ashon? The rhetorical shom benedam. The Torah is speaking the way people speak. Not that you have to be dyke anything from it. That's a big nafkamina between the Tanakama and Reb Lazar ben Azariah. I think that helps a little bit with what you were asking me about, I think, Bern, before, right? About how much Hanukkah and things like that. So, for Reb Lazar ben Azariah, about the Baret Baibet below, if there comes to, does it remind you of anything in Chumash that the Bayit got blessed because of an Eved? Anybody? Right. By Yosef, it says, by Yavarach Hashem Uchal Ragli, he says, Hashem blessed me. On your account. In other words, by when Yosef, when he works for Potiphar, by Yavarach Hashem Uchal Ragli, he says, so it's, wait. It was that Laban who says that. Wait.
I thought that was Laban and Yaakov.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. It's Laban. Yeah, it's Laban. Laban says, by Yavarach Hashem Uchal Ragli, Hashem blessed me on your account. So by Yosef, it says, by Yish Masliach, he was successful, made out of the Nava Mitzri, whatever he did was successful. But the turn of phrase, like the Barech Bai Bidlalo, more closely with Yaakov and Lavan. And Yaakov is like the way the Rambam brings it down, where he's like, Tony should have a Fushlema. He was saying, like, the Rambam delineates that Yaakov is the example of like a good worker, like he works in the winter, in the summer, constantly working. Okay, so let's see back on the Gemara. So we're on line 10.
But that doesn't totally address my question. My question was, if you have the bigger job because you're in a bigger house, more people to serve, the Hanukkah doesn't account for that.
No. Well, let's go back. Again, according to the Tanakhama, if the household is doing better, making more money, then you should get a bigger Hanukkah. Right. In other words, you got to be an Eved like in a socially depressed area, economically depressed neighborhood, or you got to be an Eved in Kings Point or something like that. So that's luck of the draw. What can I tell you? Okay, now let's take a look back in the. But in a way, it's related to this because it's saying based on how the household is doing is a Hanukkah. But that's all I can say. If you're selling yourself, so you decide who you want to sell to. What can I tell you? If
you have choices.
Okay, now the 10th line down on the two dots. Okay, Tana Rabbana. If you're the seller, you have choices, right? If the bezin is selling, you don't get too many choices. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Eved Ivri obeyed Rabban, but no obeyed Rabat. So let's say the master dies. In other words, the Eved sold an Eved Ivri, but the master dies. So the Brisa says Eved Ivri obeyed Rabban. He serves the master's son. He doesn't serve the master's daughter. In other words, if the master's daughter is the only Yoreshet, he doesn't serve her. Ama Ivriya, Eno Ben Loed Ben Loed Abad. Ama Ivriya, if the master dies, she's totally free. And we had that in the Mishnah where we spoke about it. She's like the Nirsa. Like the Nirsa, he goes free with the death of the master. A Nirsa, Banim Karlo Ben Kukavim, if a person's Nirsa, he's in like the overtime, for the master. Or he was sold to work for an Obi Kukav, a Jew that was sold to a non-Jew, and then the non-Jew dies, innovate low at a bed of a load of bad. So he doesn't serve the son or the daughter of the not Gentile master. So now that's the Brisa. Now we're going to take down and analyze the Brisa. Amar Mar, Eved Ivri Obed Rabban, innovate the bad. Eved Ivri, he serves the son, but he doesn't serve the daughter. But not even where we know this halacha from. The Tan Rabban, we learn the Brisa, and this is again from our Chumash in Parshas Re'eh. He says, so it says in the Chumash, this is the last word on the 10:16, and then the pasuk reads pasuk Yibbeis. He says, and here it's interesting. The last word on page 10:16, and then going to the top line in 10:18, says, if you're the Jewish male is sold. Oha Ivriya would be Ama Ivriya, but you see, like we don't normally think of it that way. Ba'avadacha sheshanim. He'll work for you for 6 years. Ba'avadacha Sheishanim, who worked for you for 6 years. Let's get back to the Gemara. So he says, Tanurban says, Tanurban, Babadcha Sheishanim, Lecha, below the Yoresh. So Babadcha, he'll work for you and not for somebody else. So somebody else is the Yoresh. He says, Atome Lecha, below the Yoresh. And the Yoresh could be the daughter, the Yoresh could be the brother. He says, Oh, ain't oil of Tabalul Ben. Maybe it means he'll work for you, he won't work for the son. Shumer Shishanim Yavod. So in Parsha Mishpatim, it says Shishanim Yavod. 6 years he'll work, it doesn't have any limitation. Yavod, like open. He says, Harei Leben Amor. That's, so we have a Rebu in Amiyat. Same idea as yesterday. So one Pasuk, the Parsha, the Pasuk in Parsha Mishpatim is a Rebu. So Yavod, open ended. He's going to work 6 years. So that the Gemara's learning is talking about if the son. And then the Miyot, Ba'avadacha, is the Yoresh, could be the daughter, could be the brother, something like that. It says, Hare the Benamur. Hamani Mikhaim Murkash Shanim. So what do I do with the Pasuk Babadachai who worked for you for 6 years? Lakha below the Yoresh. So Mara Yithu Rabota Ben Lotsirah. So you have a Rebui and a Miyah. So the Rebui is the Ben. One Pasuk is enlarging it, and that's the Ben. One Pasuk is Mimai. It's exclusionary. So it's teaching me the Yoresh, which would be the brother or the daughter. So how did you figure out that the one that's included is the ben, the one that's excluded is the af? He says, "Mar b'miniyah ben, shekin kam tach rabbi liyad elistei achuza." So the Gemara says, "More logical if I'm logically figuring who should be included in the ribui that has survivor's right to the service of the slave, the son seems more logical. Why? He's kam tach rabbi liyad. He's like in he's subrogated to the rights of the father in terms of yud." Like to marriage. In other words, the master is entitled to marry off the Amma Ivriya to himself or to his son. So that's one area. He says, Ulasteachuza. Steachuza is, let's say the father was Matish's field to the base of Mikdash, Blackacre. So he, the father, has to redeem it and then he can keep it. If he redeems it and gives money to the Hekdesh, fine. But if Hekdesh sells it to somebody else, and then Yovel comes, it doesn't go back to the original owner. It becomes the belongs to the Kohanim at that point in time. But there's a little wrinkle with the Din Steachuza. If the son redeems the field, it also stays in the family. So we see the son has got certain rights, which are a lot like the father. So it makes sense that if there's one family member that survives, you know, the rights to the Eved, so it makes sense to the son. The brother doesn't have those rights. So the Gemara says, "Adraba, Mar Bani Ash, King Kamta Chachiv LeYibum." So the Gemara says, "Look, I could argue the other way around. The brother's special because he's the only one who does Yibum. So maybe the brother should, you know, if one brother dies without children, so the brother has rights with that." So the Gemara says, "Klum Yish Yibum, Klum Shein Ben." But when is Yibum? Only if there's no son. So son trumps the whole thing. So Hayesh Ben in Yibum. So if there's a son, there is no Yibum. So we think the son wins out in this situation, and the ribui is for the son. So if a man has an Eved Ivri, the man of the father, Yaakov, has got an Eved Ivri, and Yaakov dies, so Yaakov's son Reuven succeeds the right to the Eved Ivri for the service. Okay, that's the way we're learning. Now, wait. There's six more lines I'll get. Now, so the Gemara says, the reason that the son wins out over the Ach is because we had a Pircha. Then the Pircha was that that even Yibum is only Shayach when there's no sons. The sons don't Yibum. Halav hachi ha'ach adif. But the implication is, were it not for that Pircha, Ach would win this argument. But typically, the hachatar tibach hachara. So but even if I didn't have that Pircha at the end, the son has got two, you know, check marks in his column. One, he's entitled to Yud. And two, he's got Steyachuza. And the Ach only has Yibum. So it's two should trump one. So even if I don't have the pircha at the end, why do I need that pircha? So the Gemara says, "Stay who's in nami mehai pircha who dekanafka le'elatana." Tell me, Yeshiva melam akom shen ben. So the Gemara in Erechin learns the din of stay achuza and has a similar ukimta by stay achuza. In other words, the Torah says, "Bimacharna sadel ishacher." If the treasurer in the base of Mikdash sold the field, in other words, Yaakov was Makdish Blackacre. And if the Gizbar, so if Yaakov redeems it, fine, got it. If Yaakov doesn't redeem it, v'macharta sedel ish acher, if the Gizbar sells it l'ish acher, a different man, then he's out the door. So the Gemara learns, what does it mean, ish acher, like a different man? So the Gemara says it means to somebody that he could sell it to that would be capable of redeeming it. So the Gemara has a question, who is that other person? Is it the son or is it the brother? So the Gemara ends up saying the similar ideas to here. So the son over there has got two things in his favor. The two things in his favor over there are he's got the right to do it, and he also has the right to the Gemara is to the Eved, is the way the Gemara says over there. Right, we're gonna say the right to the Eved, and but the brother has the right for Yibam. So then the Gemara says, but and the Gemara goes through the whole thing, and the Gemara says, yeah, but if the son was there, there'd be no right to Yibam. But the point being, it's sort of like circular reasoning. In other words, like the only way we're able to learn Stei Achuza is because we have the argument that when there's a son, there is no Yibam. That's the way we're able to get out of this. Otherwise, it's like red herring. All right, so that's why we brought that in. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, let's go on. Okay, we're 6 lines above Rickets Y on Zion and Bays. Ama Evri Eno Veda Lo Adabein Veda Lo Adabad. So Ama Evri, if the master dies, she doesn't serve the son, she doesn't serve the daughter, she's out free. But not immediately, where do I know this halacha from? Ama Evri Padat Ama Kra So again, this is another pasuk that's in Parshas Tra'ei. It says, "Yudzayin." Okay, yeah. So it says in pasuk Yudzayin on page 10:18, "Blachatana Marzei Perikta Bab Pasuk Yudzayin." Blachatana Marzei, you'll take the oil. The tabo was no bedelit. You put it in the ear of the eved that wants to continue working. Belcha eved olam will be an eved in perpetuity that we know it means olam oshel yovel. You'll do it also to your ama. So we'll have to see, what does it mean by afla manchat ha-sekein? What is also for the ama? So back in the Gemara, it says, so, the Torah makes a connection between the ama of Riyah and the Nirtza. What does it mean by afla manchat ha-sekein? It means just like the Nirtza, if the master dies, he goes free. So too, Amavriya, if her master dies, doesn't mean that she gets Ritzia, she still gets Ritzia. So it means that she also goes free. So the Gemara says, that's what Afa Mechat Sakein means. You know, I wish I could remember these things when I hear Kriya Torah and things like that, all these Lingudim. You know, Afa Mechat Sakein. So it means that she goes free. That's what it comes. I mean, by Leil Tani, but you need it for that which we learn in the following Bryce. Lanik means that she also gets, in other words, it says tanik lo, that she also gets hanaka. Atomir lahanik winilritsia. So it's hanaka. I mean, if you look at the psukim, it mentions hanaka and then it mentions ritsia. So you're saying hanaka, maybe it means ritsia. He says, well, that's the question. Maybe the Torah Ba'afa Mechat HaSakein means that she could stay beyond her period of time. It says, Oveil Ritzia, Shumir b'imamor yomar ha'eved v'lo amah ha'evriya ha'rei Ritzia amor. So the Gemara has, like, you have to learn the Pesukim Parsha Mishpatim. It says by the Nirtza, is b'imamor yomar ha'eved, if the male servant says, Ahaf yirri ishti ve'banai v'lo yitzei chopshi, v'lo amah ha'evriya ha'ritzia amor. So Ritzia is history. She's out of Ritzia. So the question is, what does this mean that so we pata learned it means that if the master dies, she goes free. But here we're learning it means that she gets hanaka. But I can't learn tulimudim from the same word. So the Gemara says, in if it was just teaching me the din by that she goes free, so the Torah could have said, Ba'af lamat chakein. It wouldn't have to say taseh. Ba'af lamat chakein. And also, zelbazach, we would say, for your ama. The same thing for your ama. My taseh, shamina tarti. So taseh kain, I have two limudim. Af lamat chakein is that she goes free if the master dies. And taseh kain is that she gets the hanaka. Okay? Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we learned so far? Okay, let's keep moving. All right, now we're on the fourth very wide line on Yuzayin Amud Beis. Everybody with me?
So we quoted the Brisa earlier. We said that if you're a Nirza, you got your ear pierced, or you were sold to a non-Jew, and the master dies, you grow free. So Nirza de Fibra Tzadonavro is no Bamartseya, Va'avado Liolam. So it says, Va'avado, he'll serve him. In other words, his ear will be pierced, and he, the Eved, will serve him, the master, forever. But if below it haben, below it abad. I mean, Va'avado, just master number one, not anybody else. In Parsha Mishpatim. What? That's talking about an Eved Ivri that became a Nirza. Okay. Now he says, how do I know if an Eved is sold to a non-Jew and the non-Jew dies, he goes free? Amar Chizki Amar Kroa, this Pasuk in Parsha Bahar, V'chishavim Konehu, so it says that when he's redeemed, he can make cheshbon with the purchaser, which is a non-Jewish master, you know, how many years he's worked. Because, you know, 6 years and things like that, so you get free. V'lo im Yorshe Konehu. So the cheshbon is only with the purchaser, not the Yorshim of the purchaser. Amarava, V'artoro V'chuchavim Yorshin Aviv. So Rava says, on a Doraisa level, a Gentile, you know, is the heir to his father. In other words, you have one goy and another goy. One goy is the son of another goy. But on Dvar Torah, in Torah law, the son inherits the father who's a Gentile. Shenemar b'chishavim koneu, v'm yorshen koneu. So he says the same limud. He'll make a cheshbon with the purchaser, not the yorshen of the purchaser. Michlal, did la yorshen. From here, I can see that on a Torah level, there are yorshen. But by the Eved, he only the cheshbon with the original master. Now, let's say somebody converts to Judaism and he has a biological father who's a non-Jew. So the Gemara is going to say that the convert is entitled to Yerusha only on a Din D'Rabbanan, not a Din D'Oraisa. Because we learned Mishnah Masechet Damai. Let's say you have two brothers. One brother converted to Judaism, now he's Chayim. The other brother stayed a Goy, is Ignatius. So the father died. Now they're dividing the estate. He says, and the father was a Goy. So the convert can say to his biological brother, who's a Goy, why don't you take all the Avodah Zarahs that our father had? You know, take that. I'll take the money. You take the Yayin Nesach. Now, the Avodah Zarah is Asur Bana to a Jew. He says, Tula ta Yayin Nesach. You take Yayin Nesach, the wine that's used for Avodah Zarah, you also Asur Bani Peiro. Mishabal Rishab Ger, but once the Ger gets a portion in it or acquires it, Asur. He's not allowed to do that anymore because he's getting Hana by trading it off. So now the Gemara says, what? In other words, if the Ger took possession of the Isurei Hana'a, he can't swap it now for money or anything else that the brother has. In other words, if he takes possession of the idols, the ger, if he takes possession of the idols or the Ayin Nesach, he can't say, well, here's the idols, you give me $1,000. Here's the Ayin Nesach, give me $1,000. But let's say he did, so then he can't. Okay, so now the Isal Kadai Doraita, if you would think arguendo, the right of the ger to Yarshan, his father, is Din Torah. Kilo Baalur Shutonami, he shakil chilufevurukam, who did the shakil. So if he's really a Yoresh on a Torah level, so upon the death of the father, he already automatically, by act of law, acquired a 50% interest of this one other brother in the Avodah Zarah and the Ayin Nesach. So he couldn't work out the deal that the Mishnah said that he needs to work out. He says, Ela midrabanan. Rather, his Yerusha rights are only drabanan level. Chamim only gave him Yerusha rights with the non-Yisuri Hana'a. And why did they give him Yerusha rights? Zeruhu da'avad rabanan, shemiyachs or the suro. In other words, we're afraid that if we don't let the ger Yarshan, his father, he may revert to being like a goy. Let's say the father was a multimillionaire and he converts to Judaism. So, and now the father dies and we say you get nothing. So he's saying, you know, this Judaism doesn't cut it for me. It was interesting, but I think I'll take the $30 million that my father had it. So we don't want him to go back with Suro. Okay, that's it. Okay, now, five lines from the bottom. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn a brisa that supports what we just said. But Mendra Murim, when do we say the ger can like kind of barter off money for the Avodah Zarah and things like that? Kshe Yarshu, when it was din in Yerusha, they could do it. Avakshinish Tatfu, if he, the ger, was involved with a shutfus with a brother or any non-Jew, and part of the shutfus, the god Avodah Zarah and the god Yayin Nesach, Asuri can't do that. Now the Gemara continues. Obey kochavim in a ger. Now let's say it's the other way around. Let's say a goy's father converted to Judaism, and the father dies. So the Jewish father dies, but the son is a goy. The ger in a ger, or a family converted, and there was a father converted and a son converted to Judaism. Eino lomi debrei Torah, lomi debrei sofim. So there's no Yerusha on a deraisa level or a derabanan level. In other words, the goy doesn't yarsh the ger. That's a zero. There's no Yerusha there. And the ger doesn't yarsh the ger. In other words, even though the father and son, both, let's say the father was 50 and the son was 20, they both convert to Judaism, the ger doesn't yarsh his father. Now, here we have, but it should be the Tanya, Lavama Ot Menager, Shinagayru Banabimo. Let's say you borrowed $10,000 from the ger, and the whole family converted to Judaism. So the father is Yaakov, and the son is Reuven. So Yaakov's a ger, and Reuven's a ger, and now the father dies. He borrowed money from Yaakov. He borrowed $10,000 from Yaakov, and now Yaakov is gestorb and geboren. So now, lo yechazir lebanav. He shouldn't pay the money back to Reuven or Reuven Shimon Levi with the sons. And if he does pay it back to the sons, the Chachamim aren't like happy with his conduct. It means that, look at Rashi, last Rashi, it means we don't give him a Yasha Koach because he didn't need to do that. It's like, in other words, we're not in any way requiring that. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. Mahatanya, but the Gemara says, but we learn, now, if this Mahatanya should be Dinan, right? Oh, so that's the thing. So, in other words, the first Dinan should be Dinan. The second Tanya should be Dinan. In other words, it's reversed. This is a Mishnah. He says, the way the Bach has it, Mahatanan, and we learn the Mishnah, Ruch Chamin No Chayinan. So the Mishnah says the Chachamim are happy that he pays back the money. So look, Kasha, there's no contradiction between the Brisa of the Mishnah, where the first statement that the Chachamim are not happy with him is when the son was conceived and born as a goy. Even though he's a Jew now, but he was totally conceived as a goy and born as a goy. So the Chachamim, there's no need to give it back then. But the top line of Chedem and Aleph, the second statement, Shoratosh Lobakushi was conceived not Bikusha, but later Tobakusha. In other words, the mother converted to Judaism when she was pregnant. So the conception took place when he was a goy, but then she converts, so he's born to a Jewish mother. So here, technically, he's a din of a convert, and so maybe you don't have to pay it back to him, but in people's eyes, they could view it that a Jewish woman gave birth to somebody. And Mela, they view it like as like the child. And so Mela there, the town of the bright, the town of the Mishnah says it's a good idea to pay it back. Okay, now, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, let's just do a good story, and that will be it for tonight. Okay? Okay, now since this, a convert to Judaism decided to distance herself from her parents after her conversion, despite living in the same city, since she was afraid that it would be a bad influence on her. And if she ever married her children, her children. In other words, she converts to Judaism and cuts herself off from her parents, basically. Because she doesn't want the parents to have an impact on her life anymore, and she doesn't want the parents to have an impact on her children's life. 20 years passed swiftly, during which she found the right shidduch, married, and had several children. She was going about her business when she received a communication that her mother was dying and had a very strong desire to see her only grandchildren. The convert didn't know what to do. On the one hand, she kept away so as not to be influenced to go back to her old life. On the other hand, was it right to deny her mother the final hour of pleasure, the final honor and pleasure? She consulted with the Rav, who consulted Rav Moshe Feinstein regarding her pressing question. So the Gadol answered, she may definitely bring her children for a visit during her mother's final days, Rambam writes that a convert is prohibited to curse or embarrass his natural parents, but must respect them, so people shouldn't say his origins were holier than his destination. In other words, they shouldn't say that he came from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Chala. In other words, when he was a Goy, he won't respect the parents. Now he's a Jew, he doesn't do it the way. In other words, is it appropriate or not appropriate for her to go visit her mother, who's a non-Jew, in her final days, and to bring her children with her? I don't know what they knew or didn't know, but they didn't have any contact with the grandparents. So he says, since he used to honor his parents for his conversion, although the Shulchan Aruch doesn't write that he must respect them, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say there's a din that you have kibud av aim, it is not likely that he argues and holds there is no mitzvah for a convert to honor the natural parents. Even if he does, there's certainly no prohibition to honor. So let me just, Nishkafer Lach, if he wants to honor them. Now, he concluded, therefore, in our case, refraining from visiting would be a violation of the mitzvah of Hakaras HaTov. You have to show proper gratitude, he says, for which Hashem was very demanding with Adam Rishon and the Jewish people as a whole. Although she cannot always be there, since we find that this can cause her to go back to her original ways, the same condition in Zion, otherwise there is a chashash shemiyatz or the suro. In other words, there is a concern that a convert will, like, you know, be pulled to the old lifestyle. She should not stay away, absolutely. Even if there hadn't been this family crisis, she should have visited her parents with the children at distant intervals all along. He says, failing to do so appears to others as a lack of appreciation for all that her parents have done for her. Furthermore, if she refrains from visiting now, she also violates the prohibition of Shulchan Aruch for a convert to embarrass her natural parents. So he says, go visit. Okay, I got to end it. Okay, I'll see you later tomorrow night. Okay.
Marvin is on his way.
Good. Okay, let me just get this thing up.
Laila Tov, Kinderlach.